Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. It is the first day of December, and we're back in rally mode with a slate full of news today. Mnuchin Powell at Senate Banking. The president-elect rolls out his economic team. Zoom, Shopify, Neo, Tesla, and a lot more. Our roadmap is going to begin with the COVID risks to the recovery. Fed Chair Powell calls the economic outlook extraordinarily uncertain, but investors are shrugging that off as stocks look to rally at the open.
One name that may not rally is Zoom's growth concerns there. Shares of Zoom are sinking. In the pre-market, work from home stock taking a hit from a rising free user base and increasing cloud costs. And as well, we've got some vaccine optimism. Moderna and Pfizer filing for emergency use. And Vice President Pence says vaccine rollout expected to begin in 2 weeks. Carl.
All right, Jim, I guess the question of the morning is whether that rotation that worked historically well in the month of November still applies.
Well, I think that we're kind of running out of gas in terms of the oil and gas, and there I'm focusing on Exxon. Stock may not go down, keeping the dividend, but it does say, look, we're at wit's end, and the big exploration development period for Exxon, market leader, U.S. leader, is, I think, now over. You know what? We are following... We're following Europe and Japan, and I think that we forget that. You come in today, and you look for all sorts of reasons why we're up and up strongly, except for we don't look at Germany, which is doing incredibly well. We don't look at the FTSE. We don't look at Japan. I mean, these countries are well on a better course than we are today, and I think that their strength beckons to say that there is a worldwide rally. David, it's not just here. There's a belief, I think it's a relief rally on the fact that we have a vaccine, but it's also not starting in America. It's starting overseas.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, it's funny, to your right there for a second, we're the best performers, of course, over the month of November, and they were all energy related. You mentioned ExxonMobil briefly. We watched the stock may be up a bit. Jim, we've talked a lot about it, this move in oil as well. There. I mean, Occidental got a downgrade today. There's Devon. I mean, those moves were incredible. Of course, they were off lows that had not been seen for most of these stocks in ages, if ever. But on Exxon, you know, we've talked so often about it in terms of their capital allocation, in terms of how much they're spending on exploration and on that dividend. Any takeaways from this latest announcement?
I mean, look, you can cut back enough like they did, and I think that it might make the dividend safe. I think that ultimately... The rig count went up again this week. And what happens when the rig count goes up is that OPEC Plus then decides, you know what, we're not going to make it even better for the Permian. But you know what, David, I think more than any other energy company, the dividend is a religion at Exxon. And they'll do anything to preserve it. And that's why when you see these write-downs, you don't get negativity. You get a sense that, wow, they threw the kitchen sink at it and we're fine. When I look at stocks these days, Carl, I look at them for income. And I look at them because I've kind of given up on the idea that the yield curve is going to move, especially when you hear what Chairman Powell's saying. I mean, what Chairman Powell's saying is, look, I'm going to keep rates as low as long as possible. So everyone's looking for something, whether it be Bitcoin, where they just got some capital appreciation, or whether it be something like Exxon, where it seems like the dividend might be safe despite what's going on. So dividend and Bitcoin are the stories.
Yeah. Well, safe and sacrosanct would be the words that Exxon might use, Jim. But your point about yields is so key because everybody taking stock of the month of November, best month since 87 for the Dow, best month ever for GE, best month ever for the Russell 2000. 10-year gave back what it got right after that initial Pfizer news on the 9th.
Look, I think that we're in a halcyon moment, and it shouldn't be. And I know that there's a lot of people who are very upset that you could have so many deaths coming. I mean, look, the lead story in the New York Times was an opinion piece about how poorly Washington, how poorly President Trump has handled the pandemic. And yet, what's the lead story for us? Well, the Russell's been incredible. That's America. The Dow's been incredible. That's it, the big industrials. So it comes back that, like I had Michael Dell last night. Michael Dell's having, Dell is having an amazing quarter. Amazing. This big shift from the central office to the home, and we're going to talk about Zoom in a second, is driving a lot of what we see. And it's, I got to tell you, it's like nothing we've ever, this is a wholesale shift in America. Maybe not in other countries, but we're seeing the Russell as a reflection. David, the Russell, I think, is largely a reflection of the fact that we have to rebuild where we do our job and where we study.
What do you mean when you say rebuild?
It's your house. Yeah. Michael Dell said something really incredible. He says you can't have one PC in a house when you have kids. And you've got to have...
Oh, multiple.
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 But that's big.
Yeah.
That's why Dell could have blowout numbers in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Why I think that Apple is grossly undervalued in a pandemic.
And we'll get to Zoom. But, Jim, to your point, though, about this sort of, you know, I've heard this word again, Goldilocks. It's hard to imagine, given what's going on with the virus and the hospitalizations and, unfortunately, the deaths that are taking place. But that's the way it's being described right now. You know, you've got Yellen coming into Treasury. Powell obviously staying. We're going to hear from him shortly. Dovish Fed, clearly going to be the case.
Right.
Some stimulus, we would imagine, although, again, there's debates about where we'll end up there. M&A, strong companies. It's the old, I mean, my God, how many times? But, you know, looking for growth, then where are they going to go? It would seem to set up for a potentially low volatility, strong stock market.
New money coming in. I mean, you can look at it every morning.
And this cohort that, of course, loves to just speculate.
They do. They love to buy Carnival. They buy Norwegian.
Love to buy Palantir at 4 in the morning
Palantir.
Every morning.
Yep. I watch this Carnival, David, because every time it gets to a new level, they do something dilutive.
Right.
But that is a term that eludes these younger investors. No, I'm not kidding. Dilutive. I mean, you know, you and I think, wow, I mean, they're issuing a lot of shares. They think,
they haven't been clued into the earnings per share idea yet.
In other words,
that number goes down the more shares there are. Maybe they need to, that needs to be explained. Or maybe they just don't care.
You know, Carl,
they're looking past this in the vaccine and they're saying, hey, all right, I like Carnival. People are going to go on cruises.
They just think that once these things start, who knows where they go? Look at American Airlines. They did an incredible deal, well below. They need more money than they could. They have to do another capital raise rather fast. If you listen to Phil LeBeau, and you know what? They'll lap it up. These young buyers say, "Yeah, thank you. The style of the company's going to be even stronger." And I don't know. How do we doubt these guys? I mean, in the meantime, what happens? Micron raises guidance. I remember when everyone hated Micron at 45. Suddenly, what happens with Micron? It's a commodity producer, for heaven's sake. But the demand is so strong that there's just a Micron update that is just blowout. How the heck is that
possible? Were talking about it possibly a week or two ago, I remember, in the
Micron.
Mad Dash, and I think you even said it was the key to this market.
It was
so. Good call.
David,
good call, Jim Cramer.
How do you remember
it
was key to the market?
Because I remember things every so often.
Well, that's
most stuff just gets by me, but every so often something sticks.
This is the backbone of all technology is the DRAM. They raised the view.
Yeah.
The view. David, they're talking about adjusted gross margins that are unbelievable. A lot of guys are recommending. This is right here, right now, Carl. And when you look at the futures, you say, why are they up other than Europe, and why are they up other than Japan? A company like Micron is in everything, whether it be automobiles, whether it be any device, Internet of Things, PCs, cell phones, bingo. I rest my case.
Your point, Jim, all those countries that you mentioned, Japan, France, Germany, the UK, had PMI beats this morning, and we'll get some of our own later on today, Jim. I mean, we could talk about stock record highs a lot, and we will, but 1 in 8 Americans still say they did not have enough to eat in the prior week. Half of residents in some states are worried about grocery bills in the month to come. We got some news about potential compromise solutions on stimulus, which we'll talk more about this morning. But that's going to be a topic for Powell for sure today.
Right. And this is where Secretary Mnuchin I think, could say, you know what, that money that I wanted to take back, that's going to go to the most impoverished. Let's get together. Let's give it to the people who are closing the restaurants. It's not their fault. Let's go back and do business interruption. Let's work together. Can you imagine if Secretary Mnuchin did that? I'm not saying he'd be Hamilton. I mean, David, not going to be a play.
No. Right? No.
Not going to be a play. Maybe Gallatin? I don't know.
I mean, a musical. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying there's other Treasury Secretaries that we say, hey, they bridged the gap. They did great things. I thought Paul O'Neill did a good job.
Really? Well, listen, there are people who are going to look back in Mnuchin and say they helped, you know, he and Powell helped save
right.
help save
but
it
this is his
in,
last
in
act.
March and April.
His last act.
Well, his
act
last
is take
act of taking that money back and then continuing to say, yeah, take the $455 billion in unused funds and use it. Yeah, okay, great. But it requires action on the part of Congress to make that happen.
I could broker that deal in a nanosecond.
I don't think you could.
And I'm
not underestimating your persuasive powers, but I just don't think so. Have you ever gone face-to-face with Mitch McConnell? Not that you'd want to, but seriously.
I had him on a couple times on Kudlow and Cramer.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was, yeah. Whoa.
So you're backing off from that promise now.
Nicola.
Maybe you can't get it done in an hour.
No, it's going to take a little time. I have my contacts in Washington are severely limited by the fact that I have no political judgment. But I do believe that this is Secretary Mnuchin's chance to seal the approval of I'm not the one. I worked with everybody. Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Listen, Jim, it is needed. Again, Congress goes back and forth, or it goes back and forth in terms of what the number might be, but it is needed. You know that.
Oh, yes.
Without a doubt, to Carl's point, in terms of people who are going hungry in this country right now.
No, it's terrible.
In terms of the enormous amount of money that is being spent on the local and state level to deal with COVID at this point. I mean, just think about New York. They're going to increase testing in the public schools dramatically to try to keep them open, or at least the elementary schools. That all costs money. I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Well, remember, Goldman Sachs said if we all wore masks, it would save $1 trillion. But
yeah.
The president was not pro-mask. Yeah. And let me just tell you, those of you who tell me, oh, there's a mask mandate, you want a mask mandate, here's what you do. You bang the people if they're not wearing them. It's like when my daughter went out the door in Spain during the lockdown, it was 800 euros if she got caught.
Yeah.
Well, that keeps you inside.
It does, but that's not America.
Well, David.
That's Spain.
True. It's not America, but it would be great. But our president, hey, Dr. Atlas left.
Yeah.
That was a guy. He was a
got
bit
that.
Of, I call him an outlier.
Got that going for us.
Right? He's an outlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Carl. Sorry. Get a little heated there. Trying to make a deal. Secretary Mnuchin, will you call me?
We'll get this thing done. We're going to talk a lot more about White House staffing as the president-elect is expected to introduce his economic team shortly after noon East Coast time today. We'll get to a lot of the calls that David and Jim mentioned as well. The downgrade of Oxy, Moderna, Argus, huge price target increase. Barclays takes FedEx to overweight. And, of course, the Treasury Secretary and the Fed Chair at Senate Banking. We'll take Q&A probably around 10:30. Futures are strong. We're back in a moment.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Europe's chief drug regulator says both Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech have applied for their respective COVID vaccine candidates to be approved in the EU. This comes a day after Moderna filed for FDA emergency authorization of its vaccine in the U.S. EU regulator says if it has received enough data, could decide on Pfizer by December 29, Moderna by January 12. Jim, Axios today says the White House is summoning the FDA chief to explain why they're not approving Pfizer faster.
Well, look, I think that the system's ready. I'm not a scientist about knowing what's going to happen, but that I think that there is an imperative at these nursing homes, long-term care, imperative among health people. I understand that. I think the president is right in the sense that there's a sense of urgency. David, this thing is out of control. Okay, it's out of control. What Dr. Gottlieb says is 50% going to get it. That goes back all the way to when this started, when there was a series of articles in Lancet also Harvard in the Chan School, which basically said, okay, look, everybody's going to get it. It's novel, but we're all going to catch it. And if we can hold it to, as absurd as this is, hold it to the 50%.
That's still, I don't know, I mean, that's still a lot more people.
Well, I'm not.
We're not going to get to 50%, Jim. Come on, that's 160 million people.
I don't think they will either, but I'm saying that there is the fact that a man as distinguished as Dr. Gottlieb could mention that number.
Well, we're in a very strange time now. We all know that as we watch Moderna shares continue to rise dramatically, and you and Joe Kernan were talking about it at the end of Squawk Box, but where we have the line of sight to the vaccine coming very close. And in fact, Dr. Fauci saying some very positive things right. In terms of even in the spring, younger people being able to walk in. Let's actually listen to Dr. Fauci. He echoed in some ways the optimism that Jim shared yesterday
yes.
on the vaccine. Take a listen.
By the time we get to April, there would likely have taken care of all the high priority. And then the general population of the normal, healthy young man or woman, 30 years old, who's got no underlying conditions, can walk in to a CVS or to a Walgreens and get vaccinated. I would think as we get through April and May, that we likely would have, for those who want to get vaccinated, the overwhelming majority of the people that want to get vaccinated.
You can see all the emotion that Zuckerberg showed at that exciting news. Jim, but
well, they're making millions of doses. That's what that's what Pansel said. Millions of doses. Now, they haven't tested on that many people, candidly. We know that.
Right.
But millions of doses. I think that this is and Pfizer's making even more. I think that the issue is we've got the logistics. Let's get it out. I agree with the president that, CVS is ready. We're ahead of Europe. I can believe Walgreens is ready. And I know that they're going to give, they've got 20,000 different places that you're going to be able to get the darn thing.
Right. But to your point, Jim, things are, unfortunately, we've got to get between now and then. We've got some dark days ahead.
Yes, and you can't
risk it. Because, as you said, it is out of control. We bring on the hospital administrators and doctors every day on the show, and none of them have a particularly good news to share at this point.
I mean, look,
and they're very concerned about what the coming weeks are going to bring.
I mean, one of the reasons why I want Secretary Mnuchin to be like Secretary Morgenthau or Gallatin is that, Dave, you got to shut the restaurants. You got to shut them. You have to shut them. You can't wear a mask. The viral load inside a restaurant is too great. The air doesn't circulate unless you're at certain restaurants that you and I both know have spent fortunes. And look, I wouldn't. I have a chance to open my restaurants and have a few customers. But I said, no, it's too risky. People keep going out. They go to bars. Give me a break. They shouldn't even go to stadiums. They shouldn't, David.
I can't argue. I can't argue with you. But, Carl, the good news, again, is that we are getting closer. Even though Zuckerberg may not have been excited about it, I was excited to hear Dr. Fauci say those things.
Zuckerberg was not...
How many times has Zuckerberg going to interview Fauci? When has he become like, what is that?
It's some sort of man to man. I don't know. I mean, Zuckerberg looks like those cardboard figures that you see in the stadium.
Oh, man.
Okay.
In the history
we'll take
of the world's written, it's
we'll
going to be
in
interesting.
Minute.
Yeah, Zuckerberg.
Don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, he's booing the Eagles right now.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Very nice. Look at this fancy shot we got here.
Why not?
All right. We got a mad dash. We got an opening bell about 7 minutes from now. Kohl's.
Okay. This is a self-help story. I mean, Kohl's today announces a major long-term strategic partnership with Sephora. Okay, omnichannel partnership. Sephora is obviously, this is the scale out of JCPenney. And look what things happen. Look when this, when you, and I bring this as a kind of a analog to what happens in this market. Micron announces good news. Kohl's announces good news. David, things that would not go up on good news are just going nuts.
You have not been a fan of Kohl's.
No, in fact, but I changed my mind at that last quarter because losers. I was surprised.
You, well, really? Actually, you changed your mind?
Well, Michelle Goss came on our network, and she was very compelling.
Okay.
She gave a very compelling story.
Okay.
And this is big news because what's happened is that Kohl's was in an existential situation. Remember I said?
That's what you said.
Yeah, but now they've got, if they can build out their omnichannel a little bit more, they're going to be a survivor.
Well, what's turned it for them? I'm not following. What is it? Has it been omnichannel, their ability to start to really sell?
They had low prices that worked. Right. And when the non-essentials were allowed, remember that ridiculous essential, non-essential?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out when the non-essential ban was lifted, a lot of customers came back to Kohl's.
And this, though, is, again, news that, as you say, the market is responding to news that 3 months ago might not have at all.
Right.
This is a Sephora partnership.
Yes, that's exactly right. And Kohl's announced in the last quarter, and one of the things I like is they're going to bring back the dividend. That's something that they want to do. And, you know, this is, look, it's 200 Sephora's at Kohl's locations in fall 2021, 850 in 2023. I mean, this is almost like what Elon Musk talks about. 2023 is going to be some great year, David.
I can't wait.
What a year that's going to be. That's the year that the Eagles win the Super Bowl. That's the year that the Mets take the World Series.
Yes.
Hey, it actually might. They got an owner that's kind of a savvy fella.
I think you could lay a bet on that.
Well, you look at this. It's up 11% on an announcement that an outfit that I happen to like, Sephora, is basically transferring its business, you know, rolling over from JCP.
Right, from the JCP.
So it's just, you know, whether it be Micron, David, whether it be the drug cohort because of how many, because Pfizer may be saving the world for all we know.
For all we know. And
right.
But one name that is down and we're going to get to around the bell, of course, is Zoom. That is down after strong numbers, but we'll explain why. We got a lot more for you on Squawk on the Street.
We're going to throw a lot of people out. Yeah, a lot. It's going to be a really big shoot.
Good. Opening bell's coming up next.
Watch shares of NIO this morning. Going to approach an all-time high. Won't quite get there at the open, but November deliveries more than doubled. Goldman today, Jim says, we underestimated the breakthroughs in powertrain, the services business, and the regulatory incentives. Year-to-date, deliveries have also more than doubled.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprising sell to hold. This stock has taken off, even though, frankly, I haven't sold that many cars and losing a lot of money. But there's an endless search for the next Tesla and the Chinese Tesla. And I think that when you see anything that even looks like Tesla, it's very dangerous to put a sell on it. You know, David, people like EV, they do not stop looking for EV.
EVs, say again, they don't what?
They can't stop looking for EV,
I know.
A Chinese
I know.
EV.
By the way, Neil, I mean, Indian we're showing EV? It up. I mean, it's up, 1,200% year to date. It's up 125% over the last 12 months.
It was at $2.
And this morning, Goldman seems determined to make that even move up even higher. Let's get to the opening bell.
Sell
and then
the hold, David.
We'll share some of the
mea culpa.
We'll share some of that report on NIO and take a look at the other EV companies as well, Carl, because they
and
have
Blackberry,
been such a feature.
Right? Yeah, Blackberry.
Yeah, Blackberry up a lot as well.
Yep, there's a look at the opening bell, guys. And we'll mention Tesla, too, which we now know, Jim, will be added in one tranche, probably on the 18th, and will probably be the number six market cap on the S&P 500.
Look, I would normally say that a lot of people have to sell in order to be able to buy that. David, I actually think that there are people in this new cohort will say, you know what? Tesla's now in the S&P. We got to buy it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. $564 billion market value now at Tesla. As Carl pointed out, it's number five or six overall. Although, remember, it's only 80% of the market cap that's actually going to be indexed. But Elon Musk is now, I don't know, you may be a simulation, Jim, but he's really, really, I think he gets three reallys.
The more that it
rich.
Goes up, the more I realize I am a simulation.
Yeah.
It's a figment of what he, I don't even think if he closes his eyes, I'd disappear.
I think they might. It's true. You.
This isn't about a dinner that I had with Elon Musk where I criticized a view of his and he said that there was 50% chance I was a simulation.
Yes.
And in retrospect, yeah,
In retrospect, you shouldn't probably have criticized them.
No, that was probably a dumb thing. It was. I do a series of dumb things, and that was certainly high on the list.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we're talking Tesla. Take a look at shares in NIO. Carl mentioned it. You guys were talking about it, up 2.6%. What caught my eye from this Goldman report this morning and is sort of has a broader ramifications is their estimates in terms of what percent of new car sales in China will be EV. And they now model China's EV penetration rising from 5% this year to 20% by 2025. They had been at 13%. They got it at 53% in 35. They had been at 37%. And then by 2050, it's 80% of the cars being sold. Their current forecast, they say, represents a four-year acceleration from the previous estimate, reflecting a series of technological, regulatory, and commercial developments in the past months. Jim, we know some of those well. We've seen it reflected in the stock prices of so many of these EV-related companies. Even though many of them are only at development, they are not yet have marketable products out there.
Yesterday. You know, look, I've been dealing a lot with hydrogen, which, of course, is another one of these fuels that oh, by the way, that Elon Musk doesn't regard as a fuel. Doesn't think it's the fuel cells are anything that are at all economic. I agree with that. But the Chinese command economy, they're making buses with hydrogen, the cleanest fuel. Carl, these command economies, whether it be with Corona or whether it be with the idea of having clear skies, we can't beat them. We cannot beat a command economy that says hydrogen is going to be our fuel. That's not the way our country works.
Well, Jim, I mean, we're going to find out just how influential an administration that backs those kinds of renewable initiatives is going to be, right?
No,
a lot will depend on what
true.
The Senate thinks about that.
Well, it's such a reversal from the pro-coal drill in the Anwar. I was never a big fan of drilling in Anwar. David, how'd you feel about that? The Arctic National drill campaign?
I was very much opposed.
And you know who else was?
Who?
Every single oil company.
Yeah, well, you tried to get Mike Wirth to say it. He wouldn't.
He wouldn't, I know.
And I thought it was an easy layup to say, you know, to sort of have their bona fides on the environment and say, hey.
Do you want a tweet that says that Wirth has betrayed America? No. Who wants those tweets?
Oh, that's what you think you're afraid of.
Aren't you afraid of those
tweets? No, I don't think you're afraid of anything.
No, I know.
By the way, guys.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's a fight or flight thing. I've been working on that for years. I haven't solved it.
One really hopes that there is no development there in one of the last pristine sort of wilderness areas in our country.
How'd you feel about the Valdez? What was your feeling on the Valdez? Was that bad?
I was against it.
Yeah, with Dove soap and stuff?
Yeah, I wish it hadn't happened.
There you go.
Guys, talking about EV, let's get to Nikola because it's getting crushed again today.
What is that
after
about?
The failure, let's call it, of getting that GM deal to be what it was, at least when it was initially announced, of course, instead of what really it is, which is just a cost plus agreement, supply agreement, GM not taking an equity stake. And there you can see, still well above where it, of course, before they announced the deal, but it's been a interesting trip for Nikola. And there's concern there as well about the lockup. Trevor Milton, of course, the founder of the company, not its CEO any longer, has 92 million shares.
Yeah.
What's he going to do with them? I don't know is the answer there at this point, but you can see there may be some concern about that this morning.
You know what stock likes this? General Motors, Mary Barra, discerning. Tremendous.
Discerning, but did they do any due diligence before they announced the first version of the deal?
Okay, initially, suboptimal analysis there. But, Carl, I do think that GM has got an EV business that is worth the price of the stock. They figured it out. It's just that Elon Musk has a product that people want. I think General Motors have battery that people want, others want.
Mm-hmm.
It's for real.
Right. I haven't taken a look at all our other plays, QuantumScape, Lordstown, Fisker, Arrival.
And Lordstown. I have all those guys on.
We got so
They're
many
a huge
charge,
amount of fun.
Charge point. I mean, I haven't taken a look at all our fun names.
I had Lordstown on. I thought that was a good story.
I know you did.
Fisker,
you did.
I mean, I watched it. My wife says, get me a Fisker. I said, well, 2023. What a year, 2023.
Going to be a heck of a year, that 2023. Can't wait. I mean, according to you, the Mets are going to win the World Series, and we'll just get started from there. So
all I can tell you, Carl, is that the future is brighter than the past.
After this year, it has to be.
Yeah, I remember we talked about Citi's initiation of Fisker. I think about it was a week ago today, looking for 60% upside. But judging how some of these names are faring, Jim, doesn't look that out of the question. Jim, I wanted to get you on the VIX because we're close to breaking below 20, which for a long time, and I'm talking since the beginning of the pandemic, was seen as some to be a signal, an all clear almost. If you could get it with a one handle, that would say a lot about the year to come. And we're awfully close now, down 40 plus percent in November.
We don't talk about it enough. I mean, it really is amazing. It is going in the right direction when it comes to what the S&P is doing. It's kind of confirmatory of the S&P. One of the things that I think is incredible about the S&P is that we've had an amazing. My favorite group is the rails. The rails just the rails stand for commerce. And they obviously don't have a COVID problem. David, have you seen the rails?
No. Tell me.
Well,
I haven't.
You know, Union Pacific had a really, really horrible quarter.
Yes.
Okay? And the stock has got, it's got one of those patterns you like, the reverse head and shoulders.
Oh, I like that reverse head and shoulders.
And the stock went down when they reported the quarter, which nobody liked. It hit 174. It's now at 206. David, FedEx. Have you thought about FedEx at all?
I have, because there was a Barclays upgrade this morning upgrade to overweight.
When the pandemic,
collaborative future between FedEx transportation networks could signal the beginning of a multi-year upcycle.
Multi-year,
yeah,
multi-year, 2023. This stock, Carl, when the pandemic hit, people thought that they're going to be the loser. I don't know why people felt that way, because the way that e-commerce worked, it's kind of like Airbnb. I remember when Brian Chesky said, he was worried about whether they'd be a loser. Well, they were a winner because hotels don't have the kind of cachet of buying somebody else's, renting somebody else's house. I've watched this FedEx go up. I remember when they hit bottom, even they were in despairing on the conference call. It was like, oh, man.
Yeah, we were talking about how long he's been
Jim,
CEO and, yeah. Sorry, Carl.
Well, I mean, think about a year ago when the number one topic on our minds was international trade and limits on it because of tariffs and trade wars. I mean, that's when, and not to mention the difficulties in some of their operating models. That's what Barclays talks about today, Jim, is that you got to change the culture before you can get the model changed to where margins improve. And that's what they see happening. Although I love that one of the first lines of their note is, yes, we can read charts and we know it's daunting to buy at these levels.
There you go. By the way, I had Carol Tomeo, and she used to be the CFO of Home Depot. She now runs United Parcel. She told me, and I don't know how you could possibly think of it, but she told me they are not going to miss the quarter. David, they're not. You meant a very good executive saying
yes.
They're not going to miss the quarter after UPS missed how many quarters?
Quite a few. It was a lot of up and down there.
A lot of
volatility.
If you have a part-time job at UPS, this quiz, a part-time job at UPS, do you get to keep the brown hat or not?
I'm going to go with yes.
Nope. Got to give it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There you go.
Guys, we haven't mentioned Zoom, of course, other than at the very top of the show. It is down almost 13%. And it was a great quarter, of course, but you can see the performance of the stock. We talk so often about the multiple. Forget to earnings, to revenues that the stock trades at. And Jim, I'll just come to you for sort of a quick rundown here. I mean, they did continue to grow their user base significantly with customers over 10 employees growing 485% year over year. But there seem to be some concerns.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking earlier on Squawk that it's the margins. I think that that's not necessarily what the problem is. I think that they have not come up with something else besides what they are. And they are very oriented. They talk about a lot about education. They did not have a customer list that people would want to rave about. In full disclosure, my stepson works for Zoom. But we don't talk about it because, you don't do that.
Right.
But I do think that Zoom did not deliver a next level of what's going to happen post-pandemic. Now, in Zoom's defense, I had yesterday the CEOs of the people who did the SP, the Standard & Poor's deal with IHS Market. How did they do the deal, David? Zoom.
It's amazing.
And yet that did not come up. If I ran that conference call, I would have done that conference call quite differently.
The Zoom conference call.
Yes, I would talk about how they are coming for the enterprise.
Yes.
That they're working their way up.
Yeah.
That they are going to take control of the enterprise because it's easy to use. and they're going to be able to obliterate the competition in the same way that if I – what are you smiling at?
I'm just thinking about who you're talking about, the competition. Oh, yeah, they're going to obliterate Microsoft. They're going to obliterate who? Well, Salesforce now, which will own Slack at some point. They're going to obliterate Google, which, by the way, when you now in your Google Calendar schedule a Zoom meeting, it actually gives you a Google Meet link.
Okay.
That's a pretty tough competitive set they're going up against.
They're smart guys. You didn't even mention that Cisco's got it for with
I forgot about Cisco. Oh, yeah.
David,
sure.
It's how people, it's easy. You just click on it. Everybody else is a little more complicated.
Got it.
People like Zoom. Most of the guests who come on, David, are they on WebEx? Some. Are they on Google? Some. Most are on Zoom.
Yeah.
So why don't you criticize them? It's like, I hate Apple, and that's why you have to pry my cold, dead hands off of this thing. David, look at
up. I can see you got your phone there. Nobody's going to take that away from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a Charlton Heston reference.
Guys, we're above yesterday's high. We're 50 points from Dow 30K. Record high S&P, record high NASDAQ. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
And some record highs around the world, Carl. Good morning, everybody here. 8-1 advancing to declining stocks. Great start to the month here. Some positive hopes on vaccine. Of course, we got start of the month here. Some vague reports on new stimulus plans as well floating around out there. So a lot of positive factors for the markets. Take a look at the sectors. December starting out a lot like November actually performed with bank stocks and energy stocks in the lead. There's your value play, if you want to call it that. Cyclicals like industrial strong. This is the exact playbook of November overall. Healthcare lagging, defensive and consumer staples lagging a bit, but still on the upside. This is exactly what happened, as I mentioned, in November. Energy stocks, very amusing to watch energy stocks. They've sort of become day trading ping pong balls here, generally on the upside. Some of these have had 25-30% moves up in November, but in the last few days, they've been bouncing all over the place as a lot of people are trying to figure out what OPEC's intentions are and exactly how big this spring reopening travel story is going to be. A lot of movement in the stocks that are refiners trying to figure out what the demand's going to be in the spring. Meantime, Jim was talking about a worldwide rally, and he's absolutely right about this. We're hitting new highs, and in some cases, record highs, particularly in Asia. So the Shanghai's about 2.5-year high right there. The Nikkei, this is the highest level since 1991 for Japan, believe it or not. And elsewhere, Korea is sitting right at or near historic high, and I quibble about a couple points. India also sitting right at or near historic highs as well. So Jim's right. This is absolutely a worldwide rally here. The reopening story is very, very real. We had huge inflows in November into ETFs. Simple flows into S&P 500 funds and Russell 2000 funds and big flows into energies, industrials, financials. This is people putting their money where their mouth is, not just moving on prices, putting money into the businesses. And this shows you the power of indexing and passive investing, how big it's getting. Speaking of passive investing, you heard about the Tesla news. S&P 500 is going to put Tesla in at the close on December 18th, all at once here. And we're talking about $72 billion. Put up that Tesla full screen, $72 billion here to go in to buy Tesla. That means there's going to be $72 billion to sell, folks. And that's an awful lot of stocks to sell. So the big question here is this going to go smoothly? Hopefully it will. Remember, in theory, it shouldn't change prices at all. It's simply just moving money around. And overall, the values will still stay the same. But this is the biggest rebalancing ever. Nothing's ever come close to this. That's why S&P consulted people to see if everyone was comfortable with going ahead and doing it. As for Tesla, what are you going to say? 600% move for the entire year. Guys, back to you.
All right, Bob. We'll see in a little while. Bob Pisani. We're not too far away from the beginning of Mnuchin Powell at front of Senate banking. Let's get to Rick Santelli. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. And indeed, but even before we get to Mr. Powell and before we get to the charts, let's do the November final on market U.S. manufacturing PMI. The mid-month read was 56.7. So take that eraser out and then toss it out because we stick at 56.7. It's a mid-month read and the final read, and it continues to build. We've now had 5 reads in a row above 50, and this is the highest of them all at 56.7. As for what's going on in the markets, well, like stocks, interest rates are up, and they are getting close to levels Well, the highest yield levels we've seen since we put in the low on August 4th. The lowest yield, the lowest 10-year yield closed at 50 basis points. Look at it intraday of 10s. You can see it, rates are zooming right along with stocks. And if you look at a two-day, we're well above yesterday's highs. And if you go back to mid-November, you can clearly see 91 is the high yield close that we've had since we settled at 50. And it is very significant, of course, to see the pairing going on between equities and the fixed income markets. And we know that Mr. Powell is speaking, as Carl pointed out, and there's lots of potential for a stimulus, and that should also not only propel stocks, but propel rates. There's one U.S. market, though, that isn't going up. As a matter of fact, it's going down pretty aggressively, and that is the dollar index. Look at an April chart starting in 2018, and you could clearly see these are 31-month lows, and the beneficiary, of course, of that weakness is the euro currency. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
Rick, we'll talk to you later as well. Rick Santelli. We'll keep our eye out for the beginning of that hearing. In the meantime, coming up later on today, John Fort's exclusive with Amazon Web Services CEO Andy Jassy, part of Squawk Alley's Cloud Week. Don't go anywhere. It's another setback to the NFL due to the COVID outbreak. After three postponements, Steelers-Ravens has been rescheduled for tomorrow, 3:40 in the afternoon Eastern time. And the reason for that afternoon start is that NBC, which is airing the game, wanted to honor its commitment to broadcast the Rockefeller Christmas tree lighting on Wednesday night. Jim, you've got Steelers-Ravens. You got the 49ers looking for a home. Broncos play a game without a QB. I mean, the NFL infrastructure has been really hit.
Yeah, but I just spoke to Adam Schefter from ESPN, his old friend of mine. That game is going to happen. They're going to play that game. And what's incredible is that the product is beginning to get hurt. And I think that all of us who are watching some of these games where there's a lot of COVID are just kind of shocked that the NFL would allow a product to be this weak. But the show must go on, is what people say. That's how they feel. Test every day. Wow. Incredible. I mean, this is Dr. Gottlieb, who talks about it all the time. I mean, there's a lot of people who are asymptomatic. You have a locker room with some people who get it, some people don't. But they can't postpone. They can't do a doubleheader. And they're going to have the season. And Adam's been adamant about it, and he's been dead right. Amazing. It's incredible.
So you don't really see Super Bowl, certainly, in jeopardy at this point?
Nope. And I was hoping that, you know, the plan was to make it so that you could test everyone and you could have people go to it. I don't know if they can still do that. I mean, there's just, there's too much of it. There's too much COVID. There's just too much COVID. Wow.
All right, guys, we're going to see what kind of impact that has on the season, obviously, which is holding together, to Jim's point. In the meantime, we'll take a break here. Still holding on to some elevated levels as we kick off December. Don't go away. It's time for Jim to stop trading.
The Uber Postmates deal is done. I think Uber's going to be out there doing a series of things that will forums that will give restaurants and other merchants a bigger seat at the table to try to figure out how they can help. This is obviously really important given the fact that right now so many restaurants are going under. The solution is Uber. The solution, you need them. You got to send. You got to get the food to people. And this Postmates deal is very good for them. So I think that we should be looking for them. And don't forget DoorDash, which was recommended today by Davidson before it even comes public. I like this group because it's really just two companies now. And when I finished getting this deal done between Speaker Pelosi and Secretary Mnuchin for the restaurants, you'll all laugh at me. Not right now, but it's going to be like John Travolta with that big bucket of blood on top of Carrie. He's basic.
We laughed.
So they're all going to laugh at me. I'm going to get this deal done, Carl. I'm trying to get it done before tonight because I got a big guest.
Okay.
David, who would you like to have?
At least we know your timeline.
What's the one guy that you'd like to have right now tonight? I got him.
Who?
Well, who'd you say is going to be merging and all that other stuff?
I don't know.
Benioff!
Oh, Benioff!
Nice.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was going to come on with me because we're such close friends.
No, I got that locked up, David. You can have, maybe I'll give you Stuart Butterfield tomorrow. Maybe not.
Well, we'll see when we get the deal after the close today.
Yeah, you know, Carl, it's part of an annex that I've got. You know, it's time to go.
You've been crushing it this week, Jim. Dell, S&P, Benioff. We'll see you at 6. Mad Money, of course, with Jim Cramer, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.